How about that? How about that? Okay. More better. More better. All right. Better and more better. That's best. Okay. So, give us a cancer report. Okay.
I feel better.
Good.
My energy's better.
Good.
My wound seems to be healing.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm hoping I'm on track.
Well, Jim says you don't snore as loudly in class here as you. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
That was awesome.
Did you say that?
Okay, well, we'll continue to be in prayer. And tomorrow, Thursday morning, Jerry and Leslie are going to be traveling to Minnesota. They'll be driving, so we need to be in prayer for their vehicle and them as they travel. It's a long way to go and a long way back, so we'll just be in prayer for safe travel. That's very important. And Nathan is just getting ready to go next the 9th. Yep, 2 weeks from today. And so that's good. And Alicia, she's doing okay. No change, really. All right. Very good.
Hoping to see a family reunion. I forget when it was. Was the end of this month or next month?
The end of this month or the end of next month. I think you might want to find out so you'll know when to get out of town.
Yeah, it'd be my house.
So it'll be this month or?
End of July or August. I can't remember. And I don't know that we really set up a exact date.
Oh, okay.
But, it'll just be a family gathering, just my sister and me and our families.
Okay. Well, good. All right. That'll be fun sometimes. And so we need to be in prayer for Eve. Eve's not doing very well, so we need to be in prayer for Eve. And let's see, any other prayer requests? We need to be in prayer for Edna, that she will continue to heal and get better and better. And let's see.
Were you living as you came in?
Oh, I don't know. It's just, I haven't had time to really ice it the way I should, and I'm supposed to keep it above, and I've got to sit to study, so it'll just take an extra few days.
I was just going to ask if you didn't have an extra birthday in here or something.
Oh, no. Just my ankle's really swollen up.
Oh, it is
swollen. It's swollen.
Put it on your desk.
Huh?
Put it on your desk.
Honey, I'm not a contortionist. I could.
So.
I'll just ride it out, sitting at the stand at home, and be doing what I'm spying from the ceiling, hang upside down, and do what I'm supposed to do. So, need to be in prayer for Nancy Becker. And she continues to have her hips healed. Need to be in prayer for Carl Gross. He goes to Dan's church. He and Rhonda, his wife, are like right-hand people to Dan and Pat. And Carl fell and hurt his shoulder, and he needs a shoulder for his work. So we need to be in prayer for Carl. They have another camp that they do in Florida. It's a special kind of camp, and Pat has asked three of our older kids to join them, and Cameron's already committed to going, and Hannah and Thomas have to see how their schedules are going to work. But if they do, that'll be very good for them. And then there is a training that they do sometime, I think, in September and the fall. And then they'll go to Mexico with a group of young people in December. And last year, the young people that went We're greatly blessed by it. So, be good. Grady made it home okay. So we need to continue to be in prayer for all of the Rieslings. I keep saying Rieslings, like the German wine, but it's Riesli. And so we need to be in prayer for for all of them. Okay, that's in our prayer. And just please remember those in prayer. Need to be in prayer for Jim Langston. Yeah. He got a report today. Tell us what the doctor said today.
Doctor said the same thing as the first one, that really the surgery was not the answer.
Okay.
That would not be successful. And may take some therapy.
Now, are you in pain?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, just sitting like this, are you in pain?
No, not unless I just, you know.
Well, as the doc says, then don't do that. Doc, every time I do this... Every time I do this, it hurts. Well, quit doing that.
It's only when he tries to fend off a blow.
I like that one. That was good. Be quick to do that.
Yeah. Well, we'll be in prayer.
Thank you. Yeah. Also, I remember Pat, the lady we were talking about last night, and before the lady that has cancer.
Yes. 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 Need to continue to be in prayer for Pat. Yes. That's cancer. So absolutely. Okay, just be in prayer for all of our young people and the old people. Let's be in prayer for our young people. I hope that this camp will generate some energy and interest. And so I was going to have them over at my house Saturday night for a little party that we could talk about giving reports Sunday morning. But most of them are going to be gone Saturday night, so that canceled that. And the banner back there is a banner that I got at camp from one of the groups. And so that's, we're proud of my little banner. And Pat said that, I talked to Pat today, and she said it was just a wonderful response. And she got a lot of good more than stories and feedback from parents about the camp. So it looks like it was most effective spiritually, and that's wonderful. Okay, any other prayer requests? Okay, then let's begin with a word of prayer, or orienting ourselves to why we're here in our studies. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this assembly. Humble as it is, you've given us so many wonderful opportunities to spread the gospel to both believers and unbelievers. And we pray, Father, you will continue to bless this assembly and use it. And now, Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see in regard to prayer and the greater works, and prayer in our general and in our lives, Father. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we have seen the condition of the greater works of faith. We've seen the condition that Jesus Christ must depart and go to the Father. And now we're looking at prayer and the greater works, and we'll finish that up this up tonight. And that will leave us with just two more, spiritual love and just one verse on that, and then the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, 2 weeks ago we finished up with a summary on prayer that God will answer. One, must be a believer in Jesus Christ as personal Savior and therefore positional relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Two, praying in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. Three, pray believing that the Holy Spirit will guide you in your prayer requests and that God does answer prayer. Four, pray in spiritual love, praying in faith. And in spiritual love is praying in keeping with the commandment that God requires for answering prayer. Five, pray in the name of Jesus Christ, which means praying in accordance with His love, His desire, and according to His benefit and His glory. Six, praying in reference to the greater works, expanding the spiritual kingdom to all the Gentile nations on earth. Seven, while every son of God, believer in Jesus Christ, Galatians 3, 26, have a right and privilege to make our request be made known to him. Many of these prayers we call iffy prayers, and this depends on God's total plan. That's why it's not just a sloppy saying that that will be done. But I like to encourage you, whenever you pray that, be sure you mean it. Christ prayed it, and they crucified him. So be sure you mean it. Okay, tonight, let's close our study with looking at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Something interesting happens in Luke chapter 11, and the disciples were humble enough to ask to be taught how to pray. And there are a lot of believers through the church age that don't know how and don't have a prayer life because they don't know how to pray. There's really no magic to prayer. But just as we're doing, we go over the things, pray in his name, pray believing, pray these things. So the disciples wanted to know. So let's deal with Luke chapter 11, a few verses in here. Verse 1. And it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished. Now, it's a kind of an awkward construction. While he was praying, we have a prepositional phrase, and then the adverb of time after. While he was praying, and then it doesn't say anything happened while he was praying. Usually when you say, while this was going on, this happened. But here we have, while he was praying, in a certain place, after he had finished. So, while he was praying, the disciples came into the midst of his praying. So they were there around him while he prayed. And that he was praying in a certain place after he had finished. This is Jesus Christ. He is our example of constantly getting away into prayer. I haven't studied it. Different, because you have a parallel passages in the Gospels, but just constant through Jesus Christ's ministry, that the last 3 years of his life there, he was constantly in prayer, constantly praying, stealing away to pray, to be by himself, praying with the disciples, praying here. He set the pattern of constantly getting away to pray. It said, in a certain place. Now, that can mean a lot of different things. I think it just means it was not where he had just had the discussion with Mary and Martha. That he went to another place, a certain place, a quiet place, that he could get away. He was constantly in prayer. Now, constantly praying keeps us constantly depending on God and aware of our dependence on God, constantly in fellowship with God, constantly in communion with God. And Jesus Christ was constantly aware of why he was here. And because of why he was here, he was in constant communication with the Father. I guess one way to do it would be in a military situation where you're out on a maneuver. Well, those that are out in the maneuver constantly keep tabs on the very radio, talkie, whatever it is, with headquarters. There's constant. You constantly want to be abreast of things and let them be abreast of things. So Christ was constantly, the Son of God, in his humanity, constantly aware of his need to be in prayer. If the Son of God, since the Son of God, how much more us, who possess a sin nature and all of the weaknesses that we have. One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And then he kind of justifies it, just as John also taught his disciples. Now, this is something any good shepherd will do, is teach how to pray. Any good shepherd will do that. Now, this is not referring to the Apostle John. This is referring to John the Baptizer, because he had a group following him, and he taught them how to pray. So he preceded Jesus Christ, and they knew of him and that he taught. So that's what's being referred to here. It's not talking about John the Apostle. John the Apostle is right now John the Disciple, just like these men following with the Lord. He's involved in this request. So, okay, so there's verse 1. Verse 2. And he said to them, okay, Jesus Christ responding to the disciples and their request, to them, plural, all of them. When you pray, say, Father. So, he said the precedence of prayer is addressed to God the Father. Hallowed be thy name. Be exalted. Hallowed means be exalted. His name is to be exalted. Now, let me say this in regard to that. Sometimes we've looked at various parts of a prayer, and I've told you that one of those is praise. This is the concept of praise. Exalted be your name. And this should be a guide in our prayer preparation and in our prayer. This is for God the Father. This is for God the Son. This is not for us. So in the answering of this prayer, and in even the requesting of this prayer, let your name be praised. Not what I want, not me. So Jesus Christ sets a precedence here in using it that way. Thy kingdom come. Okay, this gets us into the physical kingdom in the millennium. The spiritual kingdom is here now, and this all comes under what we studied in our communion specials, the new covenant. We have the new covenant for Israel and the church, and I believe it's basically the same covenant. Right now we're enjoying the spiritual aspects of it, but the kingdom is not set up here on earth, the physical kingdom. And this is very important to the Jews that there be the spiritual, physical kingdom. Verse 3. Give us each day our daily bread. Okay. What is the bread? The bread is daily logistics, and there's nothing wrong in praying for that, but it's also referring for the bread of the soul. Spiritual food. The intake and the understanding of Scripture that they were getting from Jesus Christ. I wonder sometimes if we pray this enough, because we all know that right down the street, except where Tish lives, it's a long way down the road, but there's a 24-hour grocery store that we can get our daily food. Most of us have enough in our house to cover a day or two. And so, but if you're on a mission field, even like Grady, and his family, you get to where, Father, we don't know where tomorrow's food's coming from. And pray that you'll just take care of our logistics, take care of our food, take care of shelter, take care of health, take care of these things. You're more aware to be in prayer for that. And I think we all, if you just go out camping, God, now take care of me tonight. Don't let a bear come into my tent, which you don't pray when you're at home. And these kind of things. So our circumstances will determine. And at the time, this is very important prayer. Give us each day our daily bread, but it also refers to spiritual bread. And man should not live by bread alone. And remember each day, just as we need physical food each day, we need spiritual food each day. Verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Well, I wonder if they do. And not all of us do. But he is teaching them about forgiveness in regard to one another, as well as in regard to prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Now to listen to false teachers, the Pharisees, not to sin, that is not trusting God, is what Jesus Christ deals with. Jesus Christ stops right there, makes a point about prayer. Okay, point of verse 5. And he, Jesus Christ, said to them, continued saying, is the idea, suppose one of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine, okay, so we got a lot of friendships going on. Suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight. So here's your friend in his house. So here's his house. And so here's the friend here. Here you are. And this is your friend. You go to your friend and ask him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now, 3 is very important. For a friend of mine, so this one has a friend over here, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Okay, let's identify. One of you, the apostles. But, by application to every believer in the church age, every one of us here tonight, have a friend. Okay, you have at least one friend, and that's Jesus Christ. And you go to him, that's your friend, that's our friend Jesus Christ, you go to him at midnight. Now going to him, see the word go to him, that's prayer. That's prayer. You go to him at midnight. So you're going to him with a prayer request. Remember, he's teaching them about prayer. So you go to him is prayer. At midnight in Satan's kingdom. This is a time of darkness. Spiritual kingdom and in Satan's kingdom. So the darkness, midnight's a time of darkness, suffering, adversity, when we must let our light shine. But the point here is that it's midnight. Everything else is shut down. Okay, your request is, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now, why does he want 3 loaves? Why does he want 3 loaves? Verse 6, a friend of mine. Jesus Christ is your friend, but you have another friend. And this one has come from a long journey. Okay, this is a Gentile unbeliever. This is a Gentile unbeliever. You are a Christian. You have a friend, Jesus Christ. And you have another friend, an unbelieving Gentile. And you have nothing to set before the unbeliever. Nothing of yourself. You have nothing of yourself to give the unbeliever. Is that clear? We've got to give him salvation. So we have nothing of ourselves to give the unbeliever. So you have nothing to set before him. Nothing of yourself. Nothing from the law. Nothing that you do. Nothing that you produce. So we have, let's look at it another way here. We have, here you are. And here's your friend Jesus Christ. And then you have an unbeliever, Gentile friend. So you go to your friend Jesus Christ, you ask him for something for your friend. You ask for 3 loaves. 3 loaves, 1 friend. Why 3 loaves? The first loaf is bread that comes down out of heaven. John 6, referring to Jesus Christ himself. The second loaf is the bread of the communion table. This is the broken bread, Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. The third loaf is the bread of life. The bread of life. So that's the 3 loaves. Verse 7. And from inside he shall answer you and say, Do not bother me, the door has already been shut. And my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. okay, what's going on here? Okay, from inside. This is a picture of Jesus Christ departed from planet Earth to the Father. Things we're looking at in John 14. And when they ask, he answers, "Don't bother me. The door to the kingdom is shut. I came for the Jews. They rejected me. It's shut. The kingdom is for the Jews only, not for your friend the Gentile. The kingdom that I came to set up on earth was for the Jews. That door is now shut. And it's not for your friends the Gentiles." Okay? My children refers to the Jews that are saved when he departed. So it's all over. And I'm not getting up to give you anything. You rejected me, crucified me, closed the door to the kingdom. I've now returned to the Father, and this kingdom is not open to Gentiles. Now we come to the lesson. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. I tell you, even though he will not get up, that is Jesus Christ, and give him, you believe, in the church age, anything because he, a Gentile, is his friend. Yet because of his, that's your persistence, people, that's your persistence in prayer to your friend Jesus Christ, he, Jesus Christ, will get up and give him as much as he needs. It's the persistence of prayer, power of prayer. Why do we pray? There you have it. I'm often asked, is it enough just to ask God one time? Why should we ask God a second, third time for the same thing? Here's one of your answers right here. How serious are you? How much of a burden it is for you, for the unbeliever, for the believer that you're in prayer for? And so this is a beautiful place of just keep knocking, wake him up, as it were. Just wake him up. So I love verse 8. I love verse 8 in Luke chapter 11. I tell you, even though he will not get up, he will not. There it is, verse. The Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, he will not get up, it says, and give him anything, because he is his friend. Yet, now that's the, that refers to he, the unbeliever, is a friend of yours. He is his friend. Yet because of his, that's your persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Overflowing grace. This is the persistency of prayer. This is, people, okay, you ready? This is the persistency of faith. This is the persistency of faith. Really not even a persistency of prayer. It's a persistency of faith. To make this persistency of prayer, prayer becomes a work. I'm doing something. I keep doing it. But this is the persistency of faith that will not stop making requests of God. I trust you, God, and I will let my request be made known to you. Okay? Let me show you a passage very close to this one. Let's look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Matthew 15:21. Matthew 15:21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre of Sidon. This is no accident that these two cities are mentioned in Ezekiel, it's the land of Satan that we studied. Okay, so he's gone into the land of Satan. And behold, a Canaanite woman. Okay, first of all, why behold? This is a Canaanite woman. This is a lowly dog Gentile. This is a lowly dog Gentile. Came out from that region. That is from Satan's kingdom of darkness. And began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Have mercy. I don't earn or deserve it. O Lord, deity, son of David." She recognizes his heritage. "My daughter is cruelly possessed." This is analogous to knocking on the door. Okay? So she's come and knocked on the door. Verse 23. Again, Jesus Christ is not answering the door. "But he did not answer her a word." That's Jesus Christ in our study of Luke. He doesn't answer the door. "But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is shouting out after us.'" Knocking at the door. And Jesus Christ says, "No, she keeps on knocking or asking." Now, just for the record, on verse 23, she keeps shouting, "Coming after us." We don't want to be identified with this Gentile. We're Jews. We don't want her lagging around after us. She's causing a scene. She's going to embarrass us. So tell her to go away. So send her away. Use your authority. She calls you Lord, son of David. Send her away. Verse 24. Sorry. The door is shut. "But he answered and said, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" See? Helps us understand the Luke and here. So, that's what I'm sent for. I wasn't sent for you dogs. Okay, verse 25. "But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" This is the persistence of faith. This is the persistence of her faith. She knows who he is. She knows what he can do. And she is persistent in her faith. Verse 26. "And he answered and said, 'It is not good to take children's bread and throw it to the dogs.'" Whoa! Okay, children's bread, spiritual blessings. Dogs, that refers to, first of all, the children refer to the children of Israel who are saved. The bread refers to spiritual blessing. And I like the word throw. This is just throw it out there like you would like a way a wife does on a morning she's mad at her husband. "There's your breakfast." Catch it before it goes off the table. And I just make that up. I don't know if wives do that or not. So, and he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children Israel's spiritual blessing and throw it to the dogs." Now, the dogs refers to the Gentiles. See? He is referring to her as a dog. Well, now, that's very nice of Jesus. He's referring to this nice lady as a dog. What would Jesus say? Well, he just called her a Gentile dog. Boy, talk about racist. Man. Verse 27. There's this persistency of faith. "But she said, 'Yes, Lord.'" Okay, I agree you don't take from Israel and give to the Gentiles. "But even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She recognizes him as master. She recognizes she is not a Jew. She is not entitled to the blessings of the Jew. Church age hasn't officially started. And so even the dog, in her analogy, Christ's analogy, she continues the analogy, even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now, I know a few people who don't feed their dog the crumbs that fall off the table. In fact, they feed their dogs just too well, and they prepare too much good food for their dogs. Oh, okay. So, this is the persistence of faith. Persistence of the knocking from our Luke study, persistence of faith. How do we know the emphasis is on faith and not prayer? How do we know that? I said that. Did I have anything other than what I want it to be? Look at verse 28. Here's where it comes from. Then Jesus answered her and said to her, O woman, your faith is great. Your faith. It's our persistency of faith. Not a persistence of prayer. Persistence of faith. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. This is powerful. In our study of the crisis of faith, you recall we had one centurion who came to him and said, if you'll take care of my son, heal my son, Christ said, well, I'll go home with you. And he said, oh, no, no, you don't have to. You just command from here. I'm not worthy for you to go to my home, but if you just command from here. Then we studied a ruler who said, you have to come. You have to come to my son to heal him. So you had two different problems right there. Well, here, boy, I mean, her faith, Jesus just said it, and her daughter was healed of the demonic possession immediately. So here we have persistency of faith in prayer. As God the Father receives our prayers in Jesus Christ's name, it is though God the Father were answering the very prayers of Jesus Christ himself. Now, think with me. Do you see what genius God is doing here? Everything we do, we're called to think of Jesus Christ. If we're to pray as he would pray, we're called to think of him. If we love as he loved, we're called to think of him. Not think of the law, love your neighbor as you love yourself, where you're called to think about yourself. The new commandment, to love one another as he loved. So we're called to think about him. Now, in prayer, God the Father has set it up where in our effective prayer life, we're called to think of Jesus Christ again. So this is something very powerful. Do you want to, the genius of God is so beautiful here to just cause us to be occupied with his son. To do it just as he would do it. To pray it as he would do it. Pray it. To love as he would love. To pray as he would pray. We have to be occupied with him. We have to think about him. So, what does this mean then? What is happening here? Every time we love as he loved. Every time we pray as he prayed. We're being transformed into the image of Christ. We're being transformed into him in our thought process, into the very image of Christ. And Christ is the image of God the Father. So, we're being transferred back into the image of the Father in which we were created. It's very beautiful. God's whole plan here is just so gracious and so beautiful. We decrease in our prayer life, in love, in living, and he increases. Not by some mental or verbal or physical work on our part, but simply by the miraculous process of loving as he loved, praying as he prayed. As he prayed and loving as he loved, he did both of those in the power of Holy Spirit. So we're in the power of the Holy Spirit, transformed into the image of Christ. So we're just ingenious what God is doing. And a lot of Christians try so hard in the energy of the flesh, in their self-effacement, in their obedience to be like Christ. No, all you have to do is in the power of the Spirit, love as He loved, pray as He prayed, and you're being transformed into the image of Christ. Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3. But we all, with unveiled face, verse 18, I'm sorry. Second Corinthians 3:18. For we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Holy Spirit. So how is the Holy Spirit transforming us? As we enter into His power by faith, as we maintain that fellowship by faith, He pours into us the love that He poured into Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit directs our prayers of the greater works and the works of Jesus Christ. To love as Jesus Christ loved, to pray as Jesus Christ prayed, people is absolutely dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not by some words that we utter. It's not by some desire of the energy of the flesh. It is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it is the Holy Spirit who led and empowered Jesus Christ and poured that love into Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not even love from the energy of His flesh. He did it by the Holy Spirit. He could have by His flesh, but then He couldn't have told us to do it because we don't have perfect flesh like He did. So we are so grateful that He depended on the Holy Spirit because now we can love as He loved. But had He did it in His perfect deity or His perfect humanity, He couldn't say to us, or He could say it, but we couldn't do it, love one another as I've loved you. I can't do that. I don't have perfect flesh. But since He did it by the Holy Spirit, now we can do it. Since He prayed by the Holy Spirit, we can do it. Just so beautiful the plan that God has worked out for us. So therefore, if we're going to pray as He prayed, love as He loved, then we also must be empowered by that same Holy Spirit that He was. Therefore, to pray in His name is no mechanical token, no token formula that we're to follow. Praying in His name is not determined simply by adding those little words, in Jesus' name. Though I out of habit and I'll do it. But that isn't what it means to pray in His name. But in His name is to pray in the mind of Jesus Christ. And we have the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For we have the mind of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. So since we have the mind of Christ, we can pray and love as He did. Spiritual love and this prayer embraces the person of Jesus Christ. Determined by Jesus Christ. The love that we love is determined by Jesus Christ. The prayer that He prayed is determined by Jesus. So we follow. We follow His footsteps. Put it another way. To pray in His name, where God will answer this prayer, subordinates to not my will, but Thy will be done. And again, I beckon you, be very careful if you ever add that, because you may not know what His will is, and you may not like it. You know, I prayed that His will be done, and boy, the whole thing went to pot, and this happened, and that happened, and my child died, or this happened, all this type of thing. Well, you prayed it. Thy will be done. So be careful when you add those words. Okay, we're in John, the Gospel of John 14, verse 12, the greater works. Now we're looking at the condition of these greater works. Let's go to John 14. John 14 and verse 12, our faith. Departure of Jesus Christ from earth to heaven. Verse 12. Jesus Christ departed and is at the right hand of God the Father. This means there is a member of the human race sitting at the throne of God. Jesus Christ going to God the Father has direct bearing on our prayer life being answered. Then three, prayer, verses 12 through 13. And we have noted that. Now we come to His love, spiritual love. And then five, we'll take a look at the Holy Spirit, where Jesus Christ tells us He'll give us another helper. Okay, our prayer directed toward God the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a prayer that Jesus Christ could answer. Let me just close with three quick stages of prayer, just to orient you, remind you. Number one, prayer preparation. Prayer preparation is by the leading of the Spirit. So you have to be by in faith of the Holy Spirit. Prayer preparation, leading of the Spirit. And prayer preparation is, first of all, decide that you will go to God the Father with the issues on your mind, the problems, the joys, the circumstances, the requests, the thanksgiving, the praise. Then you decide what you're going to request or lay before Him. You decide if you should lay it before Him. Think through what you're requesting for yourself or for others. How you will pray in regard to self or others. Through the leading of the Holy Spirit, if this is what Jesus Christ would pray, if it is for His benefit. So all these things are taken care of in prayer preparation. You may start off and you, as you go through it, you decide, you know what, I can't ask that. I can't ask that. And God, help me be successful in robbing this 7-Eleven. Well, you know, as I think this thing through, I can't ask Him that. So I'll cancel this prayer, Father. And so you have to be in the filling of the Spirit in prayer preparation. It's very important. Now, if you're on a plane that's crashing, just make your prayer preparation that you're in the Holy Spirit and then go right to help. All right. Then there's the prayer by the leading of the Spirit. This is where you go to God in prayer, your petitions, your requests. This is where you talk with God. This is where you request God to intervene into your life or the life of someone. And then finally, prayer pursuit. Prayer pursuit is by the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is where you pursue your prayers. You live according to what you have prayed. If you know how to pray, you'll know what to do immediately when you say amen in regard to some issue. If you don't know how to pray, then you'll panic after you say amen. And you will not pursue your prayers. Okay, spiritual love, verse 15. Verse 15 of John 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so we will begin here next Wednesday evening with the next condition of the greater works. And it's related to spiritual love, and it's related to His commandments. So we have to find out what are the commandments, spiritual love, how all of this fits together for the greater works, and in our life in general. Any questions on prayer? Because we're leaving it. Well, I don't want you to leave for not praying, but as far as our study, we're moving on in the text. Yes? Yep.
Again, one way or the other, like I think I brought up to you, whether you speak or not, you still going to have to have faith that His will be done because it is going to be done. Correct?
Yep. And you want to be in accordance with that. But here we're talking about the effective prayer. And so, yeah. Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise You for being the God that You are. We praise You, Father, that You have set up a way that we can come to You through Jesus Christ, Your Son. That we can live in accordance to the power of the Holy Spirit whom You've sent to us. And that we have, Heavenly Father, the privilege to talk with You in prayer. Not ritualistic, but constantly, consistently in our lives. Sometimes, Heavenly Father, our prayers may be where we need to steal away as Jesus Christ did. Sometimes, Heavenly Father, our prayers are short and quick. I pray that members of this assembly will have an effective prayer life and will enjoy it. Enjoy talking with you. Enjoy coming to you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let me tell you all a story.